Our Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for honoring our gathering and our worship with your tangible manifest presence. We're grateful. We don't take it for granted. We're blessed and we thank you for it. We enter your word with the same reverence. As we enter the word, we pray for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present and those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual lives, agreed with me individually and said. Once again, we want to welcome everybody to this Christmas service, and we wish you a joyful Christmas and a wonderful new year ahead and a destiny fulfilling one. You know, that's a prayer that most people don't pray. People say Happy New Year, which is good, but that's just the bottom of the rung. The real blessing is in the wonders of the Lord in your life that will help you to fulfill your destiny. No year should be wasted. Every year should be a year of fulfilling destiny. I have a very important Christmas message I would like to share with us. This is a very auspicious Christmas. Every Christmas is important, but I believe the Bible tells us, it says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter onto the perfect day. Meaning that we have more light this Christmas than we had last Christmas. Amen. And it should be like that. The light that we get from God should be increasingly progressive. And so today I want to, there's something God has put in my heart that I'm going to share with us. It's a very simple message, but I believe it's of profound significance and importance at the time we're living in now. The Bible says we should be like the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. And Jesus, lamenting, sadly, over Jerusalem, he said that your house is left unto you desolate because you did not know the time. Everybody say time of your visitation. May all of us be sensitive to the Spirit so that we would understand the, everybody say it, the times. A lack of understanding of the times could be disastrous for our destinies. It's crucial. So many Christians are oblivious of the significance of the times in which we're living. I want to start by saying what a lot of people have said and people are saying from last night. You know, we some places got Christmas Day yesterday, you know, yesterday, because the earth is revolving around. The first people that probably saw it was in Australia, and then gradually starts coming around. That's back to us today. You know, everybody on the earth is forced to acknowledge the birth of Christ, whether they believe in Christ or not. That fact alone tells me that this person that we are celebrating, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his divinity and the fact that he took on human flesh through the birth of a virgin, is something of such great importance that God in his, the Bible says that God rules in the affairs of men. So God so arranged things that the most important and the most powerful nations on the earth are the nations that recognize and acknowledge the birth of Christ, such that all the other nations, whether they like it or not, are forced to celebrate his birth today. Give the Lord a clap offering. I don't care where you are. I don't care whether you're in Asia. I don't care whether you're in the Middle East. I don't care whether you're in Saudi Arabia. You are forced. You know, there is no stock market today. Hello, somebody. No stock market. There's nothing you can do about it. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, you're on holiday. You can't go to work today. No banking today. God is sending a message that this event is so important that I have, in my sovereignty, through my rule in the affairs of men, I have made it such that all men will have to acknowledge. Turn any news station, Christian and Muslim, secular and non-secular, everybody announces that today, Jesus, the birth of Jesus Christ, whether they believe he's God or not, is being celebrated. I was watching CNN last night, and they said Christians all over the world are celebrating the birth of Christ. Well, what else would they do? And you who is reading the news, whether you believe in Jesus or not, you are forced to say through your mouth. Give the Lord a clap offering. That tells you the kind of God we serve. Our God is the true God. I like what John says in the book of 1 John, I think in the last few verses, says, this is the true God. It means they are false ones. That very statement tells us that they are false ones. I'm not going to go there this morning. I'm going to stick with my message. This is the true God and eternal life. It means there are a lot of other false gods. Some of these, they're not gods. They're just the figments of man's imagination. And men trying to find their own method. But this is the true God. And he shows his sovereignty. He shows his power by making it such that, imagine this, 2,000 years after the event. You know, normally if it was just the figment of some religious, it would have died away. 2,000 years after the event is still being celebrated with such pomp all over the earth. You like it or you don't like it. You believe it or you don't believe it. And anytime you write a date, you are acknowledging his birth. For this is the year 2019 in the year of our Lord. Give him a clap offering. What you believe is not important. What is the fact is what is important. He was born over 2,000 years ago. 2019 is probably about 2023 because he was born 4 BC. But you like it or you don't like it. You acknowledge it. I was at a function a few days ago. They invited some of the leaders of the church in Oyo State to pray for the governor. And, you know, I was privileged to be one of the people who was there. You know, and one of the ministers was saying this. It just struck me. When he said it, it struck me, you know, and that's why I want to mention it now. You know, and he was congratulating and thanking the governor for all the decorations, you know, and all the different runners. Let's give a clap for him. It's a good thing. You know, and he said, they've never seen like that in Oyo State before. you know, everywhere the light. And then he said this, and this is what struck me. He said that issues that light. Amen. The light of Christ. Although it's a physical decoration, it symbolizes. It's symbolic of the fact that there's a new light in our state. There is a new light. And you know when it showed up? Christmas. Give the Lord a clap offering. Christmas. So even little children, when they go out and they, you know, they see some people who just go and sit at that roundabout and just look. And just look, they're just fascinated. They're fascinated by the light and all of that. But you see, there's a message there. That we're celebrating the coming of light to the world. For in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word made all things. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Watch this. And the Word became flesh. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. That's the light you're seeing at those roundabouts. Symbolic. He's telling you, He's come. The light has come. And it's symbolic for Nigeria. 2020 is going to be a year of light. I'm not going to go there today. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss Watch Night service for anything. You're going to learn a lot of physics and quantum leaps. I'm so tempted to go there, but I won't. Let me stay with the New Year message, the Christmas message. That is the New Year message. Amen. But you know, it's all light. It's amazing how God hid truth, even in scientific light. And so, here we are, celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's coming into the world. Now, what does this, why is this event so important? When the angels appeared to the shepherds, as recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke in chapter 2. Let's quickly just go there. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10, if you will. And this is what they said. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I'll just tell you something, you know, because we're going to begin to see greater and greater manifestations of God's glory, you know, this coming year, this year of quantum leaps, this year of destiny, this year of glory, you know. And one characteristic of it is that it makes the carnal man afraid. And they were so afraid. Remember John on the Isle of Patmos? When he saw, he knew Jesus very well. They were very close. His head was on his chest at the Last Supper. But when he saw him in his glory, the Bible says he fell down and he was afraid. And Jesus had to encourage him and said, fear not, stand up. The carnal mind, because of the sin nature, is always afraid when the glory of God shows up. But don't worry, you'll get used to it. I heard three amens. You want to get used to it so you can live in the glory. Yeah, I don't want to get off, but, you know, I like to move with the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit just, you know, I get tweets from heaven. I remember when they had tweets in heaven. We have heavenly tweets, and we have heavenly WhatsApp, you know. So some of us who are sensitive to the Spirit, we get all these text messages. So I just got one. He said, that was why the children of Israel were afraid to enter the fire with Moses. What's the fire? It's the glory. It looked like fire. They were terrified. They actually were terrified. And Moses was beckoning to them. Come. Moses, you go.
you go. We will stay here. You go. Go into that fire. And then when it tells you anything, it tells you, you come out and come and tell us. But for us, we're not entering that fire. That should not be the response of a child of God. The child of God should be free and have the liberty to walk in the fire. You know why? The same fire is in you. He says, I will be unto him a wall of fire. You shouldn't be afraid of the fire. But if you're carnal, you will be. It's okay to talk about it now, but when it manifests, you see how many Christians people. But don't worry, you get used to it. Amen. And God says, come, come, come. There's nothing to be afraid of. Come, 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 come. It won't burn you. It's fire, but it doesn't consume. Another tweet. You understand? It only consumes wood and earth. But it refines gold and silver. So gold and silver, come, 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 come. Let me leave it there. Glory be to God. Next verse. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, and behold. Now, I want everybody to say this with me. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to a few people. That's the message of Christmas. It is good news to all men. To all men. Titus, by the Paul's epistle to Titus, picks this same thought by the Holy Spirit. And in Titus chapter 2 in verse 11, he says the same thing. He says it in a different way, but it's the same thing. Same spirit. You know, Titus chapter 2, I believe it's verse 11, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll read it first of all in the King James, and then I'll look at one or two other translations. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to what? When Jesus was born, the grace of God that will bring salvation to all men appeared through him. If you look at it in the Amplified, I believe, you can look at the Amplified, or let me just look at, I have about four or five translations here. All right. It says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for what? All mankind. In the New International Version says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers what? Salvation to all people. That's why it's great news. That's why it is an event worth celebrating. And that's why God, in his infinite wisdom and in his sovereignty, has forced, I don't like to use the word force, has so arranged it that it's celebrated everywhere. People understand it, people don't understand it, people believe it, people don't believe it, it's celebrated. When Christmas comes, the world lights up. We have these Christmas trees, they are here all year round, but we don't put them on until Christmas. The world lights up when it's Christmas. It's symbolic, but it's God's right. He's using that as a message to say the light that will save all mankind is being celebrated by his birth. Now, having said that, I want to talk about our response. Thank God for that ministration by the choir and Dame Lady, you know. So what will be your answer? That's the fulcrum, the end point of my message here. What will be your answer to this great salvation that God, by the birth, firstly, then secondly, by the death and the resurrection of his son, has made available not to a few people, not just to the Jews, but to all men? And that is my question to you this Christmas. What will be your answer? What is your response? Now, before you tell me that I've already responded, I will let you know that there's a response at two levels. The first response is at level of accepting Him as Savior and Lord. We call it the new birth. You get born again. So if you're here this afternoon, maybe somebody invited you, maybe somebody brought you here, and you've not even been born again, then you must respond at level one first. You must get born again. Jesus Himself was the one who said that. I remember somebody saying, and somebody invented this born again. No, nobody invented it. It was Jesus who invented it. Hello? Amen. Hello? It was Jesus. It was Jesus Himself. As a man came to see Him at night called Nicodemus. So Jesus was trying to explain to him, you know, why He came. And He said to him, that which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the man was thinking, and this was a Pharisee. He was one of the teachers of Israel. You know, he was one of the authorities in the synagogue, you know, who were teaching the people. It's a sad situation, same situation that applies today. And he asked him, he said, how can a man be enter his mother's womb? Will he enter his mother's born again? Jesus was, Jesus is kind and He's patient. So He didn't answer him the way He should have answered him. He just said, this will be Johnson paraphrase, Nicodemus. Come on, you ought to know better. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. That which is born of spirit is spirit. I'm talking about you responding so that your inner man, you know, receives a new birth. He says, you might accept a man be born of water and of the spirit. He says he cannot enter the kingdom of God, you know. And then he said something to him that somebody said to me. A friend of mine said this to me the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I began to speak in tongues. Because, you know, back in those days, you know, speaking in tongues was a novelty. Many Christians, you know, were not speaking in tongues. So if you got it, you know, I was in Assemblies of God Church in London. So when you got it, you say, I got the baptism. That's what we used to say, you know. So when I got the baptism, glory to God, you know. And as I speaking, I open my mouth and go. So I was like a drunk man. True story. You know, I used to be drunk before I got born again, you know. But when I now got drunk on the Holy Ghost, I now understood the difference, you know. But the effect is more or less the same. You stagger. So I staggered like that, you know. I still remember that it took me, you know. I was in my room, you know, and I had to open the door, and I would just speak in tongues, you know. I staggered to the those days there was no mobile phone, so we had the phone booth. You know, down the corridor. This was in the postgraduate hall in Imperial University College London. So I slipped in a 10p, you know, and then, you know, got the phone. So, and I called my friend. I said, I got the baptism. I said, I'm speaking in tongues. And then, you know, he said something. It's never left me, you know, and I want to share it with you. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You cannot tell where it's coming from, where it's going to. But you just hear it. When you are born of the Spirit, and then you're filled with the Spirit, you can't see the wind, but you can hear it. It comes out. So this new birth is a new birth. Your inner nature changes completely. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all these new things are of God. And that happened to me. I got born again. I was, you know, I changed. I knew, I mean, I had been born again. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And my life completely changed. My values. You know what happens when a woman gets pregnant? When a woman gets pregnant, this is physically now, but there's a spiritual parallel. You know, because of the hormonal changes, certain things she used to like food and all of that, there's some she doesn't like anymore. I remember when my wife was pregnant for the children, you know. I don't remember which one it was, but there was one of them, you know. She didn't used to eat dodo before, was it? Was it? It was Moi. Moi is love. And Moi doesn't like dodo. Can you believe that? So when she was pregnant for Moi, we used to eat dodo, but she didn't like that. Used to say, and then she asked me for all kinds of funny things. You know, please go and buy this and go and buy that. But let's get back to the spiritual. The thing about it is this. When you truly, that's why a lot of the born again of today, I don't know. Like Kenneth Hagin once said, he said, there are a lot of conversions, but very few births. You know, put up your hand. That's not newborn. The thing is, has to be, something has to go on the inside. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Now, this is my experience, my personal experience, but it tallies with the Word of God. When I got truly born again, I'm explaining level one. We're going to get to level two in a minute. When I experienced the new birth, my spiritual hormones changed. So the things I used to like before, like my wife used to like plantain, she just stopped liking it because of those hormones. Spiritually speaking, when you get truly born again, you start having a distaste for sin. If it is truly born again, you see these two guys here? Kule and Larry. They used to be boys. That they are sitting here this morning is a miracle. Larry, I shouldn't tell them some secrets. Okay. It's all under the blood. I like it. You know this song? We also sing it. We sing it a lot in church. Eh? I've forgotten that song now. No, not that one. There's a song we sing often. It's by Amy Grant. You know. What's that song? We sing it often. What? El Shaddai, El Shaddai. They used to sing it in parties. They had no clue. These two boys. They had no clue. So anytime they hear, they just go and get a girl and they'll be singing El Shaddai. Under the blood. I'm passing a message across. But then they got born again. Then the nature changed. Then they understood the significance of the song. See, things that if you are truly born again, there is a change on the inside. So that the things you used to like, you suddenly have a distaste for them. It happened to me. A sin. I didn't say I couldn't sin, but I didn't like it anymore. If I did something wrong, I would feel very uncomfortable. If you still are comfortable with sin, oh, born again, no. Oh. I said it in Yoruba deliberately. A lot of people are born again and they just live the way they used to live and there's no, you know, they don't feel any, you're not born again. If you are truly born again, your spiritual DNA has changed. Your genes have changed. Your spiritual hormones have changed. Even when you sin, you will feel, you have a resentment for sin. You see sin like this, that it may, you know, because the devil will try and attract you and he'll try and tempt you. But that desire to want to do it is not there again. I was like that. Got born again. I was a young man, 21. 20, 21 years old, you know, all kinds of temptations around. But I surprised myself. You know, then I said to myself, born again, low talk. I didn't spend money the way I used to spend. I started doing, you know, was giving to missionaries, you know, there were shops all over the whole place. If it was me before, I would have gone, painted the town red. And then I said, you are born again. You are born again. So you need to respond at level one. So if you haven't experienced what I've said, I don't care how long you've gone to church. I don't care how many conversions you've had. I don't care how many times you put your hand up. if the genes have not changed, you must respond today. For what will be your answer? Now, let's go to level 2. That's the one that concerns you and I that are sitting here. I know you are born again. Some of us, many of us, if not all of us, born again. But God is still talking to you. And this is where we have the big problem. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Notice, let's read it together. I would say, my son. I didn't hear you. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his son. He's talking to people who are born again. Otherwise, he will not call them my son. He's talking to children of God. He's talking to children of God. So he's not talking to sinners. This is not written to the unbeliever. He's written to born again Christians. He said, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Jesus is asking you this Christmas day, to all of us that are born again, children of God, he said, my son, my daughter, he said, give me your heart. You want to give Jesus a present today? You know, give people presents on birthdays. He's not asking for your money. He's not asking for all of those things, you know, firstly. You'll get those loans later. But the one that is most important to him is your heart. He said, my son, give me your heart. Now, in order to appreciate what he's saying here, you need to understand what the word heart means. Heart is usually a composite term in the scriptures, both in the Old and New Testament, that is a combination of the spirit and the soul. However, many Christians mix them up. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, he says that the word of God divides asunder spirit and soul. So your soul is not your spirit. Now, your soul is in a part of your inner man. The majority part of your inner man is your spirit, but your soul is up here. It's enclosed by your physical brain. Just like your inner man, your entire inner man is enclosed by your physical body. Your body, you know, is in the same shape as your spirit. So your spirit has 5 fingers. Your spirit has 2 eyes. Your spirit has 2 legs. Your spirit has a waist. Your spirit has a stomach. Your spirit has a chest. Hello? You know why? God is a spirit. And you were made in the image and in the likeness of God. And if you look at God's description in all of the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, you know, you find, you know, you can see the Bible says, from his waist downward, fire. From his waist upward, fire. In Ezekiel chapter 8, in verse 2. And in many other places, you know, you see he sat down on a throne, you know. And I saw one like unto the appearance of a man. Because God's the original, you and I are just the copy. Hello, somebody. So your soul is up here. It's your mind, I would say mind, your will, and your emotions. That is what Jesus is asking for at level 2. Many born again Christians, should I even say practically all on the earth today, have not given Jesus their heart. I didn't say they're not born again. They haven't given him the will. That is why they are self-willed. They haven't given him their mind. That is why they are carnally minded. They haven't given him their emotions. That is why they behave like mere men. But I'm going to flip this thing upside down, so that you get the message that Jesus is giving to you today.
as for his birthday present. He said, "Cardi, 2020, I want your heart. I don't want part of it. I want all of it. Lalu, 2020, this Christmas day, the present I want from you is I want all your will. I want all your mind. And I want all your emotions. My son." Sarah. Johan. My son. Give me your heart. Give me your will. Give me your mind. Give me your emotions. That, my brethren, is a tall order. But I'm going to show you how to do it. And God, that's the response God wants from you. You're born again, level one, but this is level two. Many Christians haven't done this thing. Because some people, they, "Oh, I'll give my heart to Jesus, I'm born again." No! All you gave him was your spirit. Now he wants complete possession. Turn with me your Bible to Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to begin to round up. I'll just give you some instructions. These instructions you have to take into the new year. Are you listening to me? God is not satisfied with half occupation. You didn't hear me. God is not satisfied with half occupation. Jesus, help me. Look at Luke chapter 19. I believe it is. Let me just check my notes to make sure I am. No, it's not 19, it's 21. Luke chapter 21 and is verse 19. Now, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and his apostles, and by extension, he's speaking to you and I today. It's one of the many prophetic messages that Jesus gave. He was not only speaking to that generation, he was speaking to all generations to come. Are you listening to me? Even though he was speaking to them. But everything he was saying was prophetic, you know, and had a natural extension to all men. Am I talking to anybody here? He said, "In your patience, possess ye your souls." Let's look at verse 18. Just a minute. I don't want to go there because of time. Let me just stick with verse 19. Everyone say, "In your patience, possess ye your souls." Two implications, maybe three. See, when you read the Bible, you always have to read it, you know, that's what it says, apply thy heart to wisdom. See, many times we read the Bible and we don't think. I don't know. You know, it's as if we leave our thinking caps off when we come to church and we put them back on when we get to work. Hello? Now, listen to this. "In your patience, possess ye your souls." It means that the possession of the soul requires patience. Number two, we end up asking, what is patience? Patience, the Greek word, means to be consistently constant. It does not mean just kokoni suruga. Hello? In our language, suru means patience. You know, just be passive and just wait for a long time. That's not what patience is. Spiritual patience, New Testament patience, is to stay consistent. It is that type of thing that you require. It's that virtue of patience, of consistency, that it takes to possess the soul.
Third implication, it means that the soul cannot be possessed instantly. It means the soul is not possessed instantly. Otherwise, it would not require patience. Hello? It means it's a gradual possession. Am I talking to anybody here? In fact, it's a military term. When you send an invading army into a country, you want them to go and possess the land. I remember during the Biafran War, although we were just children then, but I used to listen to the news and everything. It was a big thing when the federal troops would, you know, I still remember that the fall of Port Harcourt was a big thing through Black Scorpions. That's what they used to call him. Adekunle Fajue, you know, and the 3rd Marine Commandos. Even though I was just, you know, about 9 years old, you know, we used to follow those that news very, very, this thing. And they had to go through, because, see, Biafra, you know, what was the old eastern region that they declared, you know. So General Gowon, in a smart move, he created the 12 states a few days before Ojukwu seceded. And he now created all the different states. So we had, you know, a River State. We had, you know, Cross River State and all of that. And they were coastal. So by giving autonomy to those people, he gave them the incentive to be able to rebel against the Igbo domination, since not all of them were Igbos. And so that made some of them cooperate with the federal troops. So when they were going to come, they had to come through a naval attack. They came down through, you know, from Lagos. They had to come down, you know, to the coast. And that's why they call it Marine Commandos. They had to assault. They had to come off the ships and enter into the land, you know, through the creeks and the swamps, you know, of that region. And you know, one of the things that really helped them to win the war, and it's one of the reasons why some of the South and the Delta people feel cheated today. I'm not going political, but I'm just, you know, this is a historical fact. They, without them, the federal troops would never have entered. They acted as their guides and took them through the creeks and the swamps, and then they were able to bring in all the equipment and their men and everything, and finally were able to overcome the Biafran troops, you know. And then the first place, one of that was Port Harcourt. Port Harcourt was so strategic, because when they got Port Harcourt, then Biafra became landlocked. They had no other way of getting supplies in, and all that's why they started calling it an enclave. It now just became a land, so all they needed was squash. It took time, but they did it. But the point I want to make is this. It took time. It took time. So they first of all took Port Harcourt. Then after they had established a beachhead and they had secured it, then they started moving further inland, Oweri. Then there were others who were coming from the north. From the north, they came from Benue State. Those ones attacked Enugu. So Enugu now fell. It was Danjuma who did that, actually, you know. And then these guys from the south, they started coming up, Adekunle Fajui and Black Scorpion. Benjamin Adekunle, excuse me, not Adekunle Fajui, you know. Benjamin Adekunle, you know. So they began to possess the land. One town after the other would fall. Then they would possess it. Then they would secure it. Then they would move on to the next one. Then they would possess it. Then they would secure it. Then they would move on to the next one. And they gradually, Brother Undubisi knows what I'm talking about. You know, they gradually squeezed it and squeezed it and squeezed it. You know, but that's why hunger and starvation was one of the things, because they were completely landlocked. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get supplies, you know, until gradually the surrender came. The point is this. To possess a land requires a military strategy. And your soul is no less. You know these Christians who just think Christianity is a picnic. It's war. For the weapons of our warfare. But mighty through God. To the what? Pulling down on strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Bringing into what? Captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are you doing? You are possessing your soul. You got to possess your soul. I want to ask a question. It's a rhetorical question. And it's something you want to look at. And you should do maybe on a daily basis. Maybe weekly. Maybe monthly. Maybe quarterly. You know, I think you should actually be doing it. But you'll probably see more results when you look over a longer period of time. To what degree now is your will occupied by God? Let me rephrase that. Is your will more occupied this year than it was in 2018? Let me rephrase it in a way you can actually appreciate and understand. What does it mean for your will to be occupied? It means that your will to be totally submitted to the will of God. Hello? So you want to ask yourself a question. To what degree do you submit to the will of God when it's revealed to you? Are you more submitted to the will of God in 2019 than you were in 2018? Are we occupying the land? To what degree is your mind occupied? Do you still think like ordinary men? Or do you think like God? The degree to which you think like God will is determined by how much your mind is renewed. I don't want to go there. I'm going to probably do this on Sunday, you know, this coming Sunday, because I'm going to preach another message along some of these lines. But let me just say this. You cannot. One of the reasons why so many Christians are not walking in love is because, you see, they think love is an emotional thing. It's not. It will affect the emotions, but it is its origin is not emotional. It's spiritual. You know? And you cannot walk in love without the wisdom of God. Because love is the ability to discern by wisdom that comes from the Word of God. So when he doesn't have enough of the Word of God in him, how can he know how God would think in that situation? He will think like a natural man. He won't think like God. Because his mind has not been renewed with the Word of God and enlightened with the Word of God in that particular situation. So when we're talking about total occupation, we're talking about the total occupation of your mind. The total occupation of your emotions. Ah, you know what they did really pained me. That's a natural man talking. The spiritual man, it will pain him. Don't misunderstand me, because God has feelings. Yes, sir. But he will overcome it. God was grieved. The Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit. Are you listening to me? He says, God was grieved. Says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know? And I would destroy all of them. And Moses said, don't dare do it. He said, because if you do it, the Egyptians will say you brought them here. The Bible says, and God repented. That's control. Amen. Control of the emotions. Hence, the scripture says, I'm showing you a possessed soul. Be angry, but sin not. That's a possessed soul. He's in control of his emotions. He's angry, but his anger will not lead him to sin. He will not say what he should not say with his mouth. And he will not do what he should not do with his actions because his soul has been possessed. In your patience, possess your soul. You have to possess your will, and that's the first, that is one of the most difficult places to possess. Because if you can get that one, the mind and the emotions will be very easy. They're easier. They can follow. Our real problem is self-will. It's called stubbornness. It's called pride. I don't feel like doing that. Nobody can tell me how to do it. You know what the master said? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That's a possessed will. And you have to understand the conditions. I'm going to close. Under which he said it. Extreme pressure. Extreme pressure. He said his soul was very sorrowful, even unto death. So you know what he said? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Even though, hey, Pastor G, this Jesus had been preaching about this thing for the last 3 years. He had told disciples many times. He said, the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem. He will be delivered to the Gentiles. He will be killed. He will rise again. Yeah, he had said it. He knew the scripture. But under pressure. Under pressure. You know what he said? He said, if it be possible, let this thing pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. That's a possessed will. So God wants us to, God, say, my son, everybody say, my son, give me your heart. That's what he's asking for. He's asking for that will. He's asking for that mind. He's asking for that emotion, for those emotions, so that he will watch this. He wants total possession. And I'll tell you a little story as I close. There was a battle in World War II called the Battle of Stalingrad. All my friends who come to my house, we always watch World War II movies. You know, Pastor Buji, if you come, maybe later tonight we'll watch it. And it's a very relevant. I actually taught this in School of the Spirit many years ago. You know, I taught it from a spiritual point of view. This is a true story. Adolf Hitler, you know, the German army, they invaded Russia, blah, blah, blah. Don't let me get into all the details. Then he attacked Stalingrad. When he attacked Stalingrad, he had total air superiority. He had total troop superiority. And they occupied, this is a true story. Go and Google it and go and check me out. They occupied 90% of Stalingrad. They even announced on German radio that Stalingrad has fallen, but it was not totally occupied. It was 90% occupied, but it was not totally occupied. The Russians held on to 1/10 of the city, and they battled them ferociously. They made the Germans pay for every street. Every house. So the Germans would be in this house, the Russians would be in this house, the Germans would be in that house, and they would still be firing. Even though the Germans had superiority, but they held on tenaciously onto the 1/10 of Stalingrad. And the Germans tried and tried and tried and tried, but they would not surrender. Stalin had given a report that under no conditions must Stalingrad fall. People, the casualty rate was terrible. And you know what? Time started going. Then the winter started creeping in. They didn't surrender. They had heavy casualties and all of that. The Germans, because they were far away from their home, so their supply lines were going to be affected by the weather. And the Russians knew that. So they just waited. And they just held on tenaciously to that 1/10 of the land. So when winter came, they now brought in fresh troops from Siberia. Fresh tanks. fresh ammunition. To cut a long story short, they flipped the thing. And the Germans had to surrender. A 3 million army, 3 million men, under von Paulus, entered a whole field marshal. Hitler said, "Don't surrender, kill yourself." The man said, "You're joking." He said, a field marshal, a German field marshal, can never surrender to Slavs. But when they saw the situation, they had to surrender. There's a big lesson in that thing. Don't give Satan one tenth. It is a very, what I'm preaching is of great, neither give place to the devil. You know what Jesus said? He said the evil one comes, but he has no place. There was no landing site. Satan did not have one tenth to be able to work with. If you give him one tenth, he will wait until the winter. At a time when kings ought to be in battle, as great as David was, and how many people know David loved God? David, I found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own will. His will was totally given to God, but not totally. There was still a one tenth there, and Satan waited for a winter. Waited for the winter. In a time of David's weakness, in a time of David's, and then he came in and he almost got the whole soul back. If it was not for the mercy of God, it must not happen to you. It must not happen to me. This Christmas, watch what I'm about to say. It's in a two-phase operation. The first phase, which we are going to do now, is you make the decision, the determination that you are giving 100%.
Amen. Amen.
Most Christians have never done that. They have never made the decision that, God, you're going to get 100% of my will, 100% of my mind, and 100% of my emotions. Most of us just say, well, you know, you can be part of it, but there's still some part I like to keep. We don't say it like that, but that's what happens. Am I talking to anybody? Have you heard? I'm also a human being, go. There's a limit to what a human being can take. He's forgotten that he's divine. That he's a partaker of the divine nature. And the divine should occupy the whole mind. So he's saying, yes, I have the divine, but there's a part that is still human. And I want to reserve that for myself. You can't afford it. Not in 2020. Not in the years that are coming. Because it is that little patch that he will hold on to and wait for your winter. Then he will bring his reinforcements. So kick him out while you are strong. Make the decision. Make the decision that I'm going to give you my heart. So he said, my son, give my heart. And I'm going to give all of it. Everybody say, I'm going to give all my will, all my mind, and all my emotions to God. I am not holding anything back. It's critical. The first thing is a decision. Then after the decision, you now follow it up with action. And you now begin to possess day by day. Don't allow one day to go by where you have not made progress. Make progress day by day. Don't allow one day to go by where you have not made progress. So today, I should have occupied more of my will than yesterday. That's what happens in the military. when they're in war and they're strategizing, do you understand? The troops begin to move. Then you push 5 miles. You advance. You push 5 miles in what you secure. Right, William? William was in Afghanistan and Iran, Iraq. He knows what I'm talking about. You go 5 miles in, then you secure. Then you go 5 miles in, then you secure. Then you go 5 miles in, then you secure. Until you possess all the land. In your patience, possess your soul. He doesn't want any other present this Christmas. He wants that one decision, then two, follow it up with action into the new year. By this time, next Christmas, I want to see people will possess souls. Hallelujah. I like that. Jacob's becoming Israel. See, Jacob was born again, but his soul was his own. He was a supplanter. He did what he liked. He was always trickery, you know, and all of that. His mind, his will, and his emotions, you know. Jacob was typical Christian 419. Yeah. Christian 419. Always trying to, handling the word of God deceitfully. Always trying to play the Bible in one way or the other for his own profit. His will is not submitted to the will of God. His mind is still carnal. His emotions are still, you know, human. Say, but I thought we were human. No, we're divine. You haven't heard yet? Sure, we're still human. We're just like Jesus. Jesus was human, but divine. You are human, but divine. So you don't talk like mere men. You don't think like mere men. You don't feel like mere men. You don't will like mere men. And I ask the ones from you this Christmas, oh, my son, my daughter. Or I said, my daughter, okay. We are gender friendly. He wants the whole thing. He doesn't want 90% because he knows the danger of 90%. Remember the Battle of Stalingrad. When you get home, Google it. Pastor allows you to watch that movie. Pastor Boyga said, I should come and show some of those movies in church. I said, they will say I've backslidden. My wife, we got tired. Say, honey, hold this, your war film. Whoa, 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 whoa. I said, I'm learning strategy. Okay, let's close. Now, quickly. How do we do this? So we make the decision, number one. Then we start making daily incursion. I'm using military expressions. We make a daily incursion into enemy territory. So every day, I'm going to take back some of my will. Every day, I'm taking back some of my mind. Every day, I'm taking back some of my emotions. If there is an enemy counterattack to try and regain some of the land I have possessed, I must resist it with my blood. He didn't get it. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives. I am not giving up any land. That's what happens when you say you are backsliding. Land you have gained and secured must never be given up to the enemy. Not even to the point of death. That's the kind of mentality that wins wars. It was George Patton. Another war. He said, you don't win a war by dying for your country. You win a war by making the other guy die for his country. Correct. Give him a clap of praise. You don't win a war. You don't win a war by dying for your country. You make the other guy die for his country. That's how you win the war. If you die, if all of you die for your country, then the other people will occupy your country. I'm not going to
his country. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection of the flesh. Let him die for his country. Yeah. Let him die for his country. Every day. I say the blood, the word, and the spirit. You must use them relentlessly, daily. You cling with the blood, you look with the, you pray in the spirit, you confess the word of God, and each day when you pray, that's why all those prayers are important in their place. The efficient prayer. Give me afresh and increasingly the spirit of wisdom. You're possessing more of your mind. That's why it's afresh and it is increasingly. I submit my will to the will of God even when I don't feel like it. And you pray in the spirit, you possess more of the will. Strengthen me with all might according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joy, and possessing more of my emotions. I do it daily. My son, give me your heart. Stand to your feet. My son, give me your heart. Jesus is asking for your heart at level one, if you haven't given it to him at level one, and at level two. My son. That's what he wants this Christmas. Once you give him your heart, he's got your pocket. Amen. Hello? See, Jesus is not so, he's not so much concerned about your bank account and your wallet. He's concerned about your heart. Because if I have the heart, I've got the wallet. And the bank account. Many people give the bank account, but they don't give the heart. A lot of people, Christians, are, well, I give my tithe, I give my offering. I want your heart. I want you. I want your heart. Because if I have your heart, then all the other things come. Let's talk to God. We're going to close. Another few minutes and we'll be done. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Talk to God. Talk to God. This Christmas, everybody is giving presents. Jesus said, the present I want is your heart. I want your will. That stubborn self-will, I want it. I want your mind. That carnal mind, I want it. I want your emotions. Those human feelings, I want it. Because if I get it, then you will get every other thing. See, this is the secret of Christianity. In your patience, possess your souls. Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. Oh, make me love thee more and more. Thy dwelling place, pour down the riches of thy grace. Jesu, my Lord, I thee adore. Glory.
glorious beauty of thy name, Jesu, my Lord,
I thee adore.
Oh, Christmas message from the Lord. My son, give me
your heart, and in your patience possess that soul. That's Jesus' New Year message. Sorry, Christmas message to us. We're going to extend in the New Year, but this is the beginning. Raise that hand. Whether it's level 1 or level 2 or both, I'm going to lead you in a very short prayer. And I want you to pray it not as religion. You see, religion is man's way of just, this is reality. There's nothing else Jesus wants more than your heart. Because once he has your heart, he has everything. And then you know what? I got another tweet. I get these tweets from heaven. He said, if you would dare give me your will. God is talking to him. Say, if you would dare. He's just saying it deliberately. Give me just a tweet now. If you will give me your will, then you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. He said, do you want power unlimited? Do you want glory unlimited? Give me your soul. He said, just try it. Then you will ask what you will. He said, because I can totally trust your will. Because your will is now mine. So when you say something, it will not just be according to my word. It will be according to your word. How many want to take the challenge? He said, if you give me your will, then you will ask what you will. And it will be done unto you. Raise that hand. Oh, what a Christmas. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially the sin of self-will, stubbornness, pride, and rebellion. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Like you helped Jesus to say, not my will, but thy will be done. I give you my will as an act of my will. I make the decision now, this Christmas of 2019, I give you all, not some, all of my will. I make that decision now, and from today, I will start possessing it in patience, day by day, until all is occupied by you. And the same for my mind and for my emotions. Oh God. Lord Jesus, this is my Christmas present to you. In Jesus' name. Nikatolo mashala protofres. Likatofrininga toshka frede. Mercy, Lord. Lambridito freshala. Lambridias. Zetito frenes. Lembra delas, zekito frenes, nongredolo matuske fre, lombridiga tuske fres, lombra delas, zekito frene, lombridica tu fres, lombra dak, jelike kofrenes, lombridica tu frenes, nenga ras, lopridia, nombra delas, lopridic, zefrida, lombra delam tuske frenes. Mercy, Lord. Lebregan tolomatofres. Tolomatolomatolomatofredes. Tolomatushka fridiglamatolomatofres. Tolomatolos. Tolomatushka las. Tolomatofrise loberas. Tofrines. Tolomatofrines. Tolomatofrenengaras. Tushkifrinis. Lombrideles. Zukitofrinesk. Jekitofrenegars. In Jesus' name. The occupation weapon is praying in the spirit. The occupation weapon. The cleaning weapon is the blood. The ammunition weapon is the word. But the occupation weapon is the spirit. You're not going to make much advancement if you don't pray in the spirit. The reason why so many Christian souls are unpossessed, because they don't pray in the spirit much. Or they make a little something, the devil hits in, and then he pushes them back. Have you heard the scripture? When the enemy shall come in.
Isaiah 59. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. That's how we read it. The Spirit of God will raise against him, stand against him. But that's not how it reads. In the Hebrew, there are no punctuation marks. This is how it reads. This is a Spirit translation. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. And to corroborate that, there's a scripture that many of you are not familiar with. Is in Psalm 29. He said, God sits, give it to me. God sits upon the flood. Nekatush kefrenengatara. I give it Psalm 29. Chekasho frenengask. Pastor, can you bring me the program? I'm just going to close the service now. We'll sing God Mary and then we're going to close. The voice of the Lord, ever said the voice of the Lord, is upon the waters. And the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Next verse, where it talks about the flood. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Go on. There's a place where it talks about the flood. Where it talks about the flood. He uses the word flood. In this Psalm 29, God sits on the flood. Satan doesn't have a flood. Nah, he has. But when God's flood shows up, it will swallow up Satan's flood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at it. Verse 10. It says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Glory. Yay! The Lord sitteth king forever. Give the Lord a clap offering. Overwhelm the devil. Drown him with God's flood. Stop all the man. I want a flood. Flood him and drive him out of your soul. They think we're crazy, but we are. That's all right. Jesus was crazy too, wasn't he? They said he's gone mad. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the knowledge of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn and say, in your patience, you possess your soul with the flood of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.